If you want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, we learned that God's word is literally God breathed. It's his breath. It's inspired, it's infallible, it's inerrant, and it is profitable. It's for our good. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction, and right living. Because God wants us to be fulfilled and wants us to be successful. He will equip us for the ministry and the work that he calls us to. Paul's last words here. And really, I didn't get very far when I got to this section. It's like Paul's looking in his life, and he's not in a good place right now. He's in prison. He's in the innermost parts, what we would call maybe the dungeon of that prison. Hardly anybody made it out of that place alive. Paul is going to be martyred for his faith. He knows it. He knows that his time on this earth is short. And so he kind of is in that prison, and he's kind of like looking in his life, evaluating his life. And this is what he says. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul is already being poured out. You can go back in the Old Testament numbers I gave in the bulletin. I gave you some scripture references. Kings, Samuel, Numbers 15. The drink offering accompanied many of the sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament. The drink offering involved that of, if you read, strong drink. Strong wine. When I was thinking about that, just accompanying the sacrifices and the offerings that were made, I was thinking, just as we talk about, you know, as Paul's looking at his life, as we talk about, you know, maybe our lives and where we're at with the Lord right now, when we talk about the Word, and Paul's talked about the Word and the Scriptures and how and what they are. And I was thinking, you know, God doesn't want anything watered down. He doesn't want anything second best. He doesn't want anything. I was reading Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14. It says that the backslider in heart is simply a self-serving person. In his heart, everything that he has to do is about himself. And yet Paul is saying, as he's looking at his life, my life has been poured out. When we think of the drink offering, it was an offering that was poured out. Strong drink that was poured out over the sacrifice. It represented and symbolized many, I think, different things. Wine throughout the whole scripture is a symbol of joy. And I think rather than the sacrifice, the drink offering symbolized the work of the Lord and the accomplishment of the Lord in maybe the life of the believer. Certainly the drink offering represented a total consecration, a total giving of the believer's life to the Lord. You know, the sacrifice, when the sacrifice was given, it was a total thing. You know, you can't go and half sacrifice a bull or a goat or a lamb. You know, it's either a sacrifice or it isn't. And I was just looking at my life, and I was thinking of Romans chapter 12, where that Paul, in another letter to another group of believers, says that, you know, it's a real proper thing and a necessary thing. You know, as we come to the Lord, we're not dead, we're made alive. And yet we have to give up our life. When we come to the Lord, we give our lives up. We present our lives. We're like I heard, I think it was Lloyd Pulley this week. I heard him talk about the slave in Exodus who was released by his master, but the slave loves his master. And although he has total freedom to leave his master and go and do whatever he wants to do, the slave says, you know what, even though I've been given my freedom, I love you as my master, and I have made a decision that for the rest of my life, I'm going to remain with you and serve you as my master. And so the master would take the slave, he'd take him to the doorpost of his home, he'd take an awl, and he'd run an awl through his ear. Symbolizing that slave had his freedom, but willingly chose to give up what he wanted to do, give up, in essence, his freedom to serve his master whom he loved. And it certainly is a description of our lives, hopefully, as we've come to Christ. Christ has given us our freedom. Those who are in Christ are free. We're free indeed. But yet as believers, we must choose to serve Jesus all the days of our life. And when I choose to do that, I actually, in the word throughout the New Testament, we've seen doulos, servant, slave, Paul, a servant of God. Paul, a slave of God. And so Paul, he's saying here that I have poured out my life for God, for Jesus. And I was thinking, and maybe just briefly this morning, could we ask ourselves, you know, what am I pouring out my life to? For? Have I, and again, thinking of the drink offering that involved other offerings, it involved sacrifice. Think of that word sacrifice. Think of Romans 12. Therefore present your bodies, what, as living, we're not dead, but we present our lives to God and say, here I am, God. Now I'm yours. Do with me what you would have. It's an act of my will that I make that choice and I give my life to Christ. And then whatever happens after that, whatever the Lord allows into my life, look at what the Lord was allowing into Paul's life right now. He'd been beaten, he'd been chased, he'd been stoned and left for dead, he'd been shipwrecked, he'd been hunted, he'd been abused. Now he was in prison and he was going to lose his life. His head was going to be severed from his body. He was going to be killed. And in all that, and as he faced all that, he was in a good place. He wasn't mad. He wasn't upset. He wasn't blaming God. He wasn't even talking hardly anything about himself. We're going to read once, and we already read one. Once he says, you know what, everybody's left me. And everything that he says, and he has that thought, you know what, I'm kind of here. A lot of people that called themselves my friends, well, they're not around. You know, I'm in a hard place here. They've run. They don't want to be associated with me anymore. I'm a criminal, according to the state. I'm in prison. But then he goes on, except, you know what? There's some that have ministered to me. And you know what? I thank God. Look at the peace that Paul has. Look at the perspective of life that Paul has. Look at how he rejoices. And I was thinking, how often is my life just about my life? How often is, even when somebody, you know, how's it going? How's it going, Jeff? Praise the Lord. You know, God is good. Look at this day he's given us in northwestern Pennsylvania. I mean, after all, I could have had a house on the beach, but look what I'd be facing right now with my house on the beach. You know, maybe 4 feet of water. Maybe winds of 150 miles an hour. Maybe total destruction of all the material things that I have accumulated all my life, all the work I've done all my life, working 3 jobs, my wife's, you know, my kids, who knows where they are, but boy, I've got that beach I've got that house on the beach. And it's gone in an instant. It's gone with one, you know, event. And I'm thinking, wow. Praise the Lord for his goodness. Praise the Lord for his mercy. Praise the Lord for just who he is. And you know what? If persecution, Paul, we've read it. All those who live godly lives will suffer persecution and tribulation. I'm in a little bit of tribulation right now. I'm in a little bit of persecution right now. I mean, persecution for the American church is maybe, oh, gee, you know, I got a flat tire this week. Oh, God, why are you persecuting me so? You know, we have brothers and sisters this morning that, and again, thinking of Philemon, I heard from his wife this week, but, you know, just thinking of Philemon and Pakistan and thinking of our brothers and sisters in China and in some of these other places where their lives are literally on the line because they're preaching the gospel because they love Jesus. And so Paul says, I poured out my life. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. And it was a joy for him to do that. See, it was a joy for Paul to pour his life out for his Savior. And I'll be honest, I poured my life out for many things that are just so worthless and fruitless and empty. And I always joke about it, but again, God convicted me of it 1 year when I was doing it. And then 1 year during the year when I was thinking about it, just something as really as insignificant as is hunting, because I love to hunt. And I'm thinking, boy, how I poured my life into that. I'm not saying you can't have fun, you can't have a hobby, or you can't. So I think, boy, when it becomes so much a part of your life, that's what makes you happy, that's what takes the majority of your time and energy and talents and maybe even resources, there's something wrong. You know, as a man, I might be pouring my life into my career and into my job. We have to work, we're commanded, but boy, to pour my life into it, I think I'm skewed. The backslider in his heart is filled with his own ways. I think of how often my life is just filled with my own ways. You see, Paul poured his life out for the gospel. What have I sacrificed lately for the gospel? What have I offered lately for the gospel? Where am I pouring out my life this morning? Paul knew his departure, his death. That's what he's talking about. But really for Paul, it's just like jumping on a plane, going to a new destination. Right? To be absent from the body, he's going to be present with the Lord. He knew the truth. So, again, look at the last verse in this section. He said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. His whole life involved the gospel. And finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Paul's always looking forward, looking to the true place that he was going to be, that he was going to end up. Again, when I look at maybe all I've, quote, accomplished in this life, when I look at maybe all that I've accumulated in this life, what it's all... it's all worthless. It's all going to burn. Yesterday, I walked through Kitchen Cemetery, and I saw headstones, one huge headstone, you know, York. And then I looked at all the names, and then I looked at Beyer and all the names, and Salpak and all the names, and Wilcox and all the names. And I thought, boy, how pointed that is. How pointed that I knew a lot of those ones that had York on them. And they had accumulated, you know what, a lot of what they have, I have now. They didn't take any of it with them. You know, they worked and slaved all their lives. And so this morning, we've heard about the ministry of giving Bibles and spreading the gospel, salvation to the world. That's our call. Could we just think and consider, you know, what, hopefully, you know, what am I pouring? How's my life being poured out? You know, it's an emptying. How is my life being poured out today? Because it's being poured out. But where is it being poured out to? Have I sacrificed in any way, shape, or form for another believer? And I'm not talking about a building, the church, for the ministry, for Christ, for the gospel. Is my life an offering to the Lord? Have I presented my life as a living sacrifice to the Lord? If not, we can do that today. We can make a decision to do that. Lord, I want to be able to say, like Paul did there, you know what? I fought a good fight. Right? The Christian life is... we're in a war, aren't we? We're soldiers. But Paul's done all that. I finished the race. I want to finish the race. I want to cross the finish line. I want to finish it as hopefully better than I started it, and maybe better than I kind of was running it in the middle maybe of my life. But I just want to finish well. And boy, do I want to keep the faith. I don't want to run. I don't want to turn tail. I don't want to give up. Lord, we sang it, didn't we? Here's my heart, Lord. And then Jim changed it there. Have my heart, Lord. Could I give the Lord my heart so that I wouldn't be filled with my own ways? Lord, make me a living sacrifice. Lord, I make a decision, a conscious decision, a decision of my will. That I now am your slave. I am your servant. I have no rights. I have no dreams. I have no desires. Not my will, Father, but your will be done in my life. Wow. That's what I see Paul. That's why Paul could rejoice in the Lord. That's why Paul could have this confidence in his heart and in his life. One of the most beautiful things I think that that we can do as Christians is to give our lives to the Lord in a complete way. It doesn't mean, again, I think I've done that, and then I start taking it back, you know. But I think he's calling for us in these last days, as never before, to pour out our lives as offerings to the Lord.